The first reading is from the book of Acts, beginning at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Romans, beginning at the 22nd chapter. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Word of life. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Once again in the Gospel of John this week. Last week we heard Jesus praying for the disciples, and this week we've jumped backwards a chapter. We're still in the farewell discourse, and this week Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, the Gospel writer uses a special word for the Holy Spirit, which is paraclete, not parakeet. Paraclete. And paraclete means one called to be alongside. So the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is a companion, one who accompanies, one who will be alongside the disciples when Jesus is no longer alongside them. And this morning, I'm going to read our gospel from a translation called the Inclusive Bible, which was developed over a 20-year span by the Priests for Equality group, which is a Roman Catholic group that advocates for the ordination and full inclusion of women in the church. This translation strives to honor the original text while removing patriarchal leaning. So the things you will hear that might be a little different is the use of the original name that Jesus used for God, which is Abba, and also she, her pronouns for the Holy Spirit. So the gospel according to John, starting in the 15th chapter. When the Paraclete comes, the Spirit of truth, who comes from Abba God, whom I myself will send from my Abba, she will bear witness on my behalf. You too must bear witness, for you've been with me from the beginning. I didn't tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to the one who sent me. Yet not one of you has asked, where are you going? You're sad of heart because I tell you this. Still, I must tell you the truth. It is much better for you that I go. If I fail to go, the Paraclete will never come to you. Whereas if I go, I will send her to you. When she comes, she will prove the world wrong about sin, about justice, and about judgment. About sin, in that they refuse to believe in me. About justice, because I go to Abba God and you will see me no more. About judgment, for the ruler of this world has been condemned. I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear to hear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, she will guide you into all truth. She won't speak on her own initiative, rather, she'll speak only what she hears, and she'll announce to you things that are yet to come. In doing this, the Spirit will give glory to me, for she will take what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that Abba God has belongs to me. This is why I said that the Spirit will take what is mine and reveal it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. This might be a silly question, but do you ever get overwhelmed by all the things on your to-do list? I'm going to take that as a yes. Sometimes I even get overwhelmed by the number of to-do lists, right? My work list, my house list, my parenting list, my personal list. That's just a few of them. They're not all physical lists, but lists that are in my head of everything that needs to be done. And when I feel that way, when I get overwhelmed by everything that I need to get done, I then get even more overwhelmed by all that needs to be done in the world, all the injustices that need to be fixed, all the problems that need to be solved. Climate change, world hunger, gun violence. Brett jokingly asked me, so you have trouble getting your to-do list done because of the conflict in the Middle East? And I said, yes, yes, quite honestly, this is true. The more overwhelmed I feel, the more aware I become of all the work that needs to be done in my own life, in my community, in the world. It just snowballs, and it's emotionally exhausting. That's where I've been the past couple of weeks, and that's how I was feeling when I read the text for today. And I thought, oh great, the Holy Spirit, the most impossible thing to try and talk about, especially to a bunch of Lutherans. So let's just add right impossible sermon to the list. I may have been feeling a little sorry for myself. But then I was meeting with my spiritual director, and I was talking with her about how overwhelmed I've been feeling. And she asked me to do an exercise, to think about biblical characters who might have felt overwhelmed. I thought about it, and I said, Moses felt pretty overwhelmed. Mary probably felt pretty overwhelmed. Sarah and Abraham, the 12 apostles, the women at the tomb. And then I said, you know, I think just about every person ever called by God in the Bible felt overwhelmed. And there's a reason for that. Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, but one of them is that in Scripture, God was always calling people who seemed extremely unlikely and often terribly unqualified, sometimes very reluctant and usually scared. And the reason, one of the reasons, is to point us to and to remind us of the fact that it is God who does the work, the creating, the saving, the healing, all of it. It is God who makes all of those things possible using ordinary people. It is God who does the work. And so as we talked about that, I suddenly remembered the texts for today, and I had an aha moment. That is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is God continuing to be present and continuing to do the work in the world. The Holy Spirit is God continuing to empower ordinary people to do all the things that God calls them to do, the work of God. None of us are left to do that work alone. In this section of John, Jesus is saying goodbye to the disciples. And he knows that the disciples are overwhelmed. They're scared and they are overwhelmed at the prospect of continuing their ministry without Jesus. And so Jesus promises them that they will not have to do it alone. Jesus promises to send them help and support, to send the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to work right alongside them. She will continue to be their teacher, their encourager, their advocate, just as Jesus has been. It can be overwhelming sometimes, all the work that there is to do in our own little corner of the world and on a larger scale. But the good news is that none of us are called to do it alone. We are called together in community. In our reading from Acts, the Holy Spirit makes her first appearance in the midst of the gathered community. It was there together that they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is present in us in community. Remember that when you feel overwhelmed. Turn to your community. Ask for help. And pay attention to one another. When you see someone struggling, offer to help. Because God gave us this amazing gift of one another so that none of us have to carry our burdens alone. And God gave us the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit, a partner and a helper in all that we are called to do. Remember that word paraclete? One who's called to be alongside? The Holy Spirit was sent as a paraclete, as God's presence right alongside us, to care for us, comfort us, guide us, inspire us, to strengthen us and encourage us, in all things to help us. It can be hard to know how to receive this help sometimes, because we can't see the Holy Spirit or touch her. She's like the wind, right? Powerful and strong, but seen only by the impact it has. And for us Westerners, we're not always so great at accessing the spiritual side of life. It takes practice to open ourselves up to that, to be aware of the Spirit's presence and to seek out her help. It's something I'm working on in my own life. There are lots of ways to try and to practice. You know, prayer in all forms, but centering prayer here on Mondays is a wonderful way to try. Quiet time, just listening to the wind in the trees. Meditation in all its forms. Silence, and that's no easy thing, but finding silence. Finding time and space to simply be open, to be open and pay attention to something bigger than ourselves. Practice handing things over to God's care, to ask God for help. Asking for strength and guidance when you know you need to act. Finding time and space to listen to the small voice of the Holy Spirit that nudges you. Taking the time to look for and notice God at work in big and small ways in your life and in the world around you. Every time you do, those are glimpses of the Holy Spirit at work. Like I said, it takes practice, and I have a long ways to go. But when I feel overwhelmed, it is such good news to know that I am not alone, that I'm not left to do any of the work alone. No matter how much needs to be done in our lives or in the world, none of us are left to do it alone. We have each other, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit alongside us. Thanks be to God. Amen.